What's up, folks? This Sunday morning. Is it Sunday morning?
Yes,
Rob,
sir.
I'm losing track of time. Okay, Sunday morning. I'm taking off a week from the morning show, so you won't see me here for the morning shows. I'll be back Monday, December 4th, to continue with the Coming At You Live. But I wanted to knock out a quick show on things that are coming that I'm looking at right now with Rob Cunningham from The Cool Show. You can get him on Twitter. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit with Rob and just bounce some volley back and forth a little bit with what we see coming down the pipeline, because there's some things coming. There's some things coming. Now, I don't know if they're going to be here by the end of this year, but I do see some, obviously, some kind of financial, you said, Rob, some kind of financial collapse probably before the end of the year. So, folks, before we get into that, get your health with Nino, baby. When it comes to anti-aging, we're all searching for that miracle pill. At least I am. But believe it or not, I may have found the next best thing. It's a special type of collagen, and it's more effective at maintaining skin elasticity, reducing visible signs of aging, and promoting a youthful complexion than most anti-aging products I've seen typically found on store shelves. Tens of thousands of five-star reviewers cannot be wrong. Simply place your order now and get 53% off, along with many other free bonuses before they sell out, and they always sell out. All right, folks, that's Health with Nino. Hit the link below. Get started on collagen. You look pretty young for your age. I don't know if you take collagen. I do, because I got knifed in the throat, but that's when I started taking. I just stayed on it ever since.
Well, when you have a 14-year-old and 17-year-old daughter and the football players show up and come around, and you got to at least stay in somewhat good shape in order to give them a little bit of machismo, you know.
Oh my gosh. That's probably the truest statement ever, man. Yeah. I remember there was a lot of dads that were trying to chase me off, man.
and they probably were damn right to do so. See,
totally different now. But anyway, Rob, let's get to this.
Yes, sir.
So I've had a lot of guests on, and Bo Pony, you know, the time of an analyst, and Juan and Scott Bennett and Jaco, and I've just had a lot on the just recently, and I'm putting it all together myself. And I've always said that there was gonna be a vertical leap up just off my instincts. I knew October was gonna be a big month, and it was. I feel like November's kind of just kind of coasting in November, but I feel, what's your thoughts on coming into the end of the year here? Some kind of financial turmoil? What do you see going down?
David, I think the ripcord was pulled from the old fiat debt-based matrix system to the new one. And what I mean by that is the go live on the ISO 20022 standards. What that in essence did is bring absolute validity to entities even as big as JP Morgan that say, okay, we're going to adopt these standards of transparency and accountability, this new digital asset-based internet of value. You're either in or you're out. You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant.
So you're telling me that they're going to probably pull the plug and switch us to this digital currency that by the end of this year, you think?
What I'm saying, David, is that more than 80% of the countries in the world have already left the U.S. dollar system. They're de-dollarizing. They're doing the BRICS thing. Okay, they're doing the BRICS, you know, salsa. They're saying, look, America's a dead man walking. It's insolvent. We're $33 trillion in debt. We're never paying that debt off. It was never intended to be paid off. It was one big counterfeiting money laundering operation in order to centralize power and control in Washington, D.C. through counterfeit money and military operations. And the holding company known as United States of America, Inc., was operated by the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the City of London, the Vatican City, the BIS. And we're just a sock puppet. We have the illusion that we're the United States of America, that we signed the Declaration of Independence and created. That got perverted and hijacked a long time ago, and now it's bankrupt. And I think the rest of the world, 80, 85% of the world, understands we're not taking your shit paper anymore. We're not selling you our goods for your crap. Mm. They've all left that system. And that's why the bull ponies and the people that believe in sound, honest money with real accounting that everybody can lay their eyes on and see. Money is a trust system, David. We have perverted trust the world over. We've perverted people through wars and counterfeit money and debt and taxes and regulation and you name it, whatever they're doing underneath the ground and whatever they're doing with kids and how they're disappearing and the perversion of everything in life, follow it all back to this endless supply of counterfeit money. And then they scare people into submission and everybody, you know, goose steps in line with the powers that be. And 365 times we were told to fear not. But the real currency, David, is fear and what these jerks have been doing for so long is counterfeiting money and weaponizing fear to get us all to just consent our rights away and forget who we are and forget whose we are.
I feel like something's getting ready to pop with China. China confronts U.S. warship on as tension grows. I can't see the rest of that there, but China's military said it had driven a U.S. warship from its waters, from waters it claims in the South China Sea at the weekend, and accused the United States of being the biggest destroyer of peace and stability in the region. This is just right after Xi Jinping met with Joe Biden. Okay, so you're telling me this is not engineered or manufactured? I find this highly suspicious. And my question is, are we getting ready to brace for some kind of conflict with China where they're going to use Taiwan as the proxy? Do you get what I'm saying, Rob? Yeah. I feel like this could be the breaking point right here. I'm watching this closely and I'm like, just right after the meeting, look what they're doing. Look what's happening here. You got to pay attention to these drips. You know what I mean? What's your thoughts on this?
Well, there's two ways to look at this. Number one is all wars are bankers' wars. If Biden is desperate and we're insolvent, just like as soon as one conflict over in the other side of the pond ended, a brand new one ended in the middle, and a brand new one started in the Middle East.
This will be the third one right here. This will be the third one.
Here we go. They got a ceasefire in one place. They got to pump some more money over here. The only way they seem to be legally able to print more counterfeit fiat money is through a mechanism of war. Okay, so we were told there's going to be wars and rumors of war throughout this entire time frame. This serves two purposes. One, it may be that they're desperately trying to gasp for more liquidity, doesn't have the resources, and it can't print the money unless it's for war. Secondly, it's also beclowning the current administration and showing the world that China can do whatever it wants to do. That Biden doesn't have any juice. Right. He can say anything that he wants. He's embarrassed. Look, Xi comes into San Francisco and our American troops are holding CCP flags, China flags.
Yeah, but look at this. The incident highlighted the tensions in the Flashpoint region and was the first such confrontation since Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Joe Biden met on the sidelines of an Asian Pacific summit in San Francisco earlier this month and reported progress on some of the issues that have strained ties between the global rivals. I feel, because remember, Juan 07 has said many times that they have gamed this out. They know they only have a limited time left with Biden. A limited time left. So China knows this. China gamed this out. So what I'm saying here is, okay, now they're going to the next phase of this plan. So that's how I see this going down, in my opinion.
I agree with you, David. We have to see that the players on the U.S. side are bigger than Biden in the White House. It's who controls Biden in the White House, right? It's the bankers. It's the central bankers and all the folks even above them and all of those that are involved in global world domination. This is now, I believe that, you know, Xi's not a part of that clan. Okay. Xi's outside of that clan. So what's the antagonist and the driving forces that are trying to make the conflict look scary are coming from far above even the Biden administration. Okay. For good or for evil, they're coming Okay. He's this guy's not calling the shots. Let's just put it that way. And so there's a fear narrative, and or there's a desperation that's playing out. And the desperation is, look, we got bricks. I mean, does anyone believe that Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, just Russia and China being allies, that Biden is going to try to deploy our U.S. military in some kind of conflict against China that would immediately bring in Russia as their ally? We can't even meet our recruiting goals. Our equipment is bad. We're insolvent monetarily. Do we really think that we're going to pick a fight? That would be like my 100-pound daughter picking a fight with
you.
Yeah,
but that's the whole purpose of this, is to bankrupt and destroy America. Hand it over. Maybe hand it over to China.
No. The good news is
No. I'm saying with Biden.
Well, maybe.
That's Biden. I'm talking Biden's objective here.
These guys are desperate. They're not using logic. They're not using
right. I'm not talking about the white hat move. Now I'm talking about what their game plan is.
I think their game plan is, I can look. There's so many rabbit holes we can go down here. One of them was that the DNC changed their rules. It said once they have a nominee in place, then he becomes ill or dies or whatever, then the DNC elders, the elite in the DNC, get to pick the replacement of the nominee, which maybe it would be somebody from California instead of Biden. And as we were talking about earlier, before the show started,
there you go, right there. Kamala Harris versus Gavin Newsom. See, this is another thing coming, folks. The coming Democratic Civil War. There you go, Rob.
Well, and here's the beautiful thing. Look at the chaos that would be created inside the liberal left-wing Democratic Party if you've got this female who's not even eligible constitutionally to hold the office, who never got more than 1% when she ran, and this cousin of Nancy Pelosi, who is the most liberal, psychotic whack job from California. Neither one of those two, David, are going to carry the United States of America. Not a chance in this world. If the Democratic Party wants to put these two against one another after Biden gets the 25th Amendment declared on him or something,
yep.
This is going to utterly destroy the Democratic. There is no way in the world enthusiasm is going to go through the roof, and they're going to buy enough support for these two.
But Juan has said on my show many times the Democrat musical chairs is coming, that it's coming. And it looks like it's beginning right now. The Democratic Party is united for now. Fear and loathing of Donald Trump keeps the various Democratic factions in a precarious peace. But labor versus environment, Jewish vote versus Muslim vote, and center-left versus hardcore progressivism cannot remain at bay forever. The fiercest battle may well be the looming civil war between Vice President Kamala Harris and California Governor Gavin Newsom for the party leadership once President Biden leaves the stage. And it won't be pretty. So what do you want to make a bet? Biden leaves the stage early. When Biden named Harris as running mate, he conferred on her heir apparent status. The pick made sense. VP nominees are mostly about pulling together party divisions or offsetting the nominee's weaknesses. As an old white male Catholic, Biden running with a minority female checks some important identity boxes. And in 2020, with a campaign hobbled due to restrictions, Harris did just fine. The not Trump campaign worked. However, given the opportunity to establish herself as the next Democratic hope, Harris has proven rather maladroit. Something about her isn't quite right. Her speeches are mediocre with poorly thought out ad libs. Her awkwardness with voters is positively Hillary Clinton-esque. After spending her life in the progressive hothouse of California, Harris has shown little ability to build appeal in the other more centrist 49 states. Given the unpleasant portfolio of illegal immigration early in the administration, she failed to distinguish herself. If she has any real policy responsibility today, it's not apparent. So what I'm thinking here is here we go with Newsom going to be making his move. I've always said Newsom's coming. He's coming. And there's no reason for him to even be debating DeSantis. Why, if he's not running for president?
David, this is all a distraction. It's all a rodeo. It's all part of the bread and circuses. It's all part of the divide and conquer. Look over here, jazz hands, and don't look over here what's really going on. Keep the people fixated on stupid, meaningless bread and circuses and political debates. You got two people that have never signed a paycheck, never created a job, never run a business, that don't know damn thing. Can you imagine, David, that an interview between Trump and, or a debate between Trump and Gavin? I mean, you couldn't ask for a greater gift than to put right, these.
But these I don't see it going down like that. I see a series of events leading to a bigger event. So maybe, look, now I'm talking hypothetically here. I'm talking, this is just my opinion and something that could, do you really see it going to 24 November cycle? I don't. I do see an event happening. Maybe Biden falls ill. He's out of the picture. He's got it. They got to put in Newsom. Do you get what I'm saying here, Kamala? Something weird is happening here. Something weird is transpiring here. And I think both of us have our fingers on the pulse. We could both see this.
David, can you pull up my post from X that I shared with you this morning on the screen?
And I don't have it on here on the laptop.
That's okay. No worries. If you'll go to Cool Show, at Cool Show on X.com, you can see what I posted this morning. But David, I believe it depends on how big our faith is and how big we think that. Let me sum it up this way. We know for a fact the Supreme Court has said there are two complete different unique authorities and jurisdictions in the United States. There's a military and there's a civilian. Derek Johnson talks about it all the time, right? There's a Uniform Code of Military Justice that we had for 11 years before we ever put a signature to the Constitution, okay? So from the time of the Declaration of Independence to the Constitution and Bill of Rights was about 11 years. So we operated only with a body of law called the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And in the Declaration of Independence, it said, if our government ever becomes destructive to these declared rights that we have, these unalienable rights, we the people have the right to set that destructive government aside and start anew. That's underwritten by our military. And our Supreme Court said in 2015 or 2016 that they are absolutely wholly separate and distinct bodies of law. So if our government is
talking about this right here.
Yep, that's it. If our government is.
Let's hope I can pull it up on here.
Yeah, hopefully it'll give a show. It'll give the whole view.
There you go. Right there. Right.
Yeah, that's it. So according to the United States Supreme
Getting
Court.
Getting better.
Yeah, man, you're good. You're good. We have two wholly separate bodies of law and jurisdiction exist today. Military and civilian.
Okay. Do you want to read this or just show me to show it?
Let me say that. This is my take.
Just make sure you don't put any words in here that are not fluffed.
I'll edit it. I'll self-edit myself, okay? The original American dream was perverted by original globalist. Globalism is Marxism writ large the world over. And in Marxism, the philosophy is the ends justify the means. We'll make up the rules and whatever we think goes, and we can reverse engineer anything into what we want. Globalism is Marxism on the global stage. Okay. Right. Our Declaration of Independence is still viable. It was and is underwritten by we the people, with a recognition that we have immutable laws that are incapable of being perverted or destroyed or eliminated by globalism or the law. True law was never created nor granted by man, so it can never be trampled upon or deleted by man. So according to the United States Supreme Court, they recognize we have two bodies of law. I said no perversion, distortion, groupthink, or demonic ideology within the civilian body of jurisdiction can ever bleed over and render the military body of jurisdiction invalid. Those are two completely wholly separate bodies of law. Military jurisdiction is what underwrites our, mine and yours, we the people, legal authority to set aside a corrupt and destructive civil government and begin anew. If those government becomes destructive to the inalienable rights that our founders wrote in that declaration, then we the people, and the, at the time, the only we the people law there was Uniform Code of Military Justice. We didn't have a constitution when that was signed. So who, if they're saying that we can set it aside, we is us and the military. It's not us in the Supreme Court, because there wasn't a Supreme Court until 11 years after that document was signed. So those who, let's see, perverted civil authorities have abandoned their oath, they've failed us, and they have failed our U.S. Constitution. Those who manufacture and worship money, counterfeit money, to gain power and control, believe they can reign over others, and are they themselves unaccountable to God, to government, to people, to any set of moral values. Their ends justify their means in their minds. So we have been fighting this narrative war over the true dominion and sovereignty over our hearts and our lives and our minds and our purpose. It's a big MK Ultra program writ large. That either God-centric, immutable, timeless spiritual laws exist in the world for all of us to freely seek and discover, and or just not even, just be lazy and don't seek them. Or we're going to be slaves in this human-centric, subjective, perverted world of legalisms and fictions that are going to be endlessly produced by these ulterior motive-seeking control freaks who believe that whoever accumulates the most money and power can impose their will. You know, human life be damned. It doesn't matter. So freedom, in unalienable freedom by our Creator, runs in the light of love, and slavery runs in the dark by force. So this really is a demonic war. This is a spiritual war. We're either free or we're slaves. And
100%. This is for our species.
This is for
humanity. This is for all the marbles right here.
That which is organically freeing, that's inside my DNA and inside of yours, that breathes my, that gives me life, that gave me life. That which is organically freeing, enriching, and empowering comes abundantly from our Creator. And that which is forced on us and imposed by deception and division and destruction and fear comes manipulated from hell. Okay, tell me this isn't a good and evil war.
Yeah, 100%.
We are lied to on an oppressive scale and have been since the day we were born. Now, we're either going to continue down that path or we're going to take a road less traveled, David, and we're going to break out. We're going to believe, we're going to understand, and I think that's what the Great Awakening is. The Great Awakening is that we live in a world of abundance. We live in a world of wealth. We live in a world that we're supposed to reign over. As kings and queens, we're not supposed to be anybody's slaves or serfs. But if we don't seek wisdom and find out who we are and whose we are, then we'll fall to any lie and any BS story that we're told. And unfortunately, what does a good book say? We're enslaved by our lack of knowledge. And they have hijacked every channel of quote unquote knowledge and wisdom and news and media and all that kind of stuff and health and safety, and I'm from the government, and I'm here to help.
Yeah,
right. So they've hijacked all
everything,
channels, everything, to get us to shut up, sit down, don't think for ourselves, use no critical thinking, submit your will, submit your rights, and obey as you're told. And that it's falling apart. That's the beauty of this, David. We're insolvent. We're having to borrow or print $1 trillion every 2 or 3 months to pay $1 trillion.
Well, that's what's so important about this time right now. What people need to understand is we're coming to the breaking point, the end, the climax. It's over from the old guard to the new guard. And yes, it's all about who's going to control the new system. And it cannot be them. That's what this is all about right here. That's what this is all. Everything you're seeing transpire right now is all about who's going to control the new system.
And fear is the currency that operates the old system. And that's why we're seeing more being pumped out through the media on an ever escalating pace. We're seeing fear, 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 fear. So we don't think, we don't look, and we don't understand how the game is being played. And David, I want to go back to ISO, the ISO standards, International Standards Operation. There's only 8 digital assets that are going to allow for, if you will, the motor oil, the lubrication of this new internet of value. We still have to have accounting. We still have to trade. We still have to do business with all the 195 nations in the world, still have to do business together. How do we do that on a level playing field with honest accounting and sound money instead of a bunch of counterfeit assholes that run one big printing press and one big world reserve currency and make everybody submit to one set of rules and one currency? What if we had 195 currencies on a level playing field and all of the currencies were backed by gold and silver and all of the currencies were transparent and everybody, Space Force, could look down and see, yep, you got that much gold and you got that much currency and you guys can do that trading back and forth because you're not out over your skis. What if we had light and transparency and quantum computing and an internet of value and every nation had collateral that backed their currency, and then everybody had transparency to see, are they cooking the books or are the books honest? Is the ledger honest or are people just peeing on our legs and telling us it's rain? Right? Yeah, I mean, exactly. Think about this, David. The controllers of the world that have run the world since 1913, since the Federal Reserve was started, the creature from Jekyll Island was built, they were never going to let us audit the Fed. They were never going to let us look at the books. They took us off the gold standard, right? They put our treasury over in the city of London instead of the treasury creating our money. They had an NGO in the city of London create our money. They had an IRS agency, which is an NGO in Puerto Rico. The Puerto Rican IRS goes and collects our money and gives it to a Federal Reserve over in London.
It makes zero sense. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world when you understand the game that's being played, the Ponzi game. But I think you have a beautiful way of articulating this. And that's why I love to have you on my shows, because the way you explain things, even for me, and I'm waste eyeballs deep in this. You still like, I'm eyeballs deep in this with all the people that I interview and stuff like that. I still kind of like, you walk me through the elementary steps. You're very good at explaining the situation. And I think it's very good for my audience as well, because every time I talk to you, Rob, I still learn something. I'm like, ah, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh, you know what I mean? It comes back to me because I get so war and the chess moves that they're playing. I forget the basics. Makes sense. It's like boxing. I used to be, you know, so far into my into training that sometimes my trainer would pull me back and we'd go over the very basics and fundamentals of training, of technique and stuff like that, so I don't slip, so I keep tight, you know. And that's kind of like when I have you on my show, this is what that you kind of remind me of that.
Well, that's awful kind of you to say that, David. I mean, we all do that. We all get myopic sometimes, and we got to come back up to 40,000 feet and we got to look back. And we were given one option in the law book: worship me or worship money, worship stuff. You know, I mean, even Satan put his arm around God or Jesus and said, hey, dude, all this can be yours. All you got to do is give me your soul. Jesus said, get behind me. No, I'm not doing that. How about you follow? We can worship money and materialism and think that's going to bring us joy and happiness and abundance and prosperity and love and peace and joy. Or we can seek wisdom, which is the greatest commodity ever, greater than all the wealth in the world. And if we seek wisdom and find wisdom, do we think our creator would give us a purpose and then not provide for us and not provide the abundance to go and execute on our purpose? Look, the funny thing is we've been tricked into following bank accounts, money, success,
materialism,
popularity, materialism. And then they fear you. They scare us to death by they're going to tax your materialism. They're going to steal your materialism. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to lawsuit.
This whole system is built on scarcity and competitiveness. It's like.
It's a lie. Scarcity is a lie.
It is a lie.
Look, if people were to know or even contemplate, some of your leftist audience members, their heads blow up.
I don't think I have any leftist audience.
If they were to understand that oil was the second most naturally recurring abundant resource on planet Earth, second only to water, then they would go, you mean we've been fighting wars over oil, and we could have carburetors that give us 150 miles a gallon, and oil could be free? And what are you talking about? It's the scarcity. They have to teach us we're running out of everything so we can go a little more.
Fight wars over it.
Forage, please. You know?
But man, fight wars and fight wars. Keep up the scarcity.
And here's what they've done. They've convinced us to spend our time, our labor, our effort, our lives, and our purpose to trade everything that we do, all our physical assets, all our talents, all our creativity, all our buildings, all our magic, everything that we built to them in exchange for some monopoly money, some casino chips that they can make.
And now it's safety and security.
Always, you know, fear. We're from the government. Yeah. We're here to
that's help. Why they peddle fear. And they use problem, reaction, solution.
And so, fear not, 365 times, the greatest rabbi, the greatest teacher on earth said, fear not, it's in the law book 365 times, because they knew what they were going to do. They were going to weaponize fear to get us to be afraid, not know who we are, submit to fear, give all our rights away to fear, and then get put in this fear prison. Okay? Maybe if that doesn't prove that 365 times, no greater admonition was repeated more often in the law book than fear not. And here we are walking around scared to death.
It's a way, I mean, there's so much coming. And I just want my audience to be, I want them to be excited, because I really do feel like this is it. It's coming down to it. And it's going to be, we're going to have some hard weeks and months and maybe a full year of hardship. I hope it doesn't go that long, but.
David. Does President Trump look scared to you?
Not at all.
He was in a football game last night. He's in the crowd is going berserk for this man in a football stadium. Does he look worried?
Not at all. And I say that all the time. I say it all the time on my program. The guy is cool as a cucumber, man. And look at all 91 charges of felonies. I mean, this is unbelievable, man. The guy's just like, whatever.
He's pulling the system out in the sunlight so everybody can see the system.
Yeah.
He's taking the slings and arrows for us so everybody can see it. It can't stand on its own weight. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's pulling all of these freaks out in the bright sunlight so that the 8 billion can see the 1 million.
Right.
I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing.
It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Rob, I want to say thank you for coming on, man. I love having you on. You kind of just put everything in perspective for myself and my audience. People love you. Folks, go to Kuhl Show, KUWL Show on Twitter? Is on Twitter?
Yeah, next.com. Yep.
Twitter. And give them a follow. And Rob, I'll have you back on again in a few weeks as this transpires, as this progresses. So as we approach the end of the year, I'm going to have you on.
David, I would say check this week. I think these next 5 days in the market is going to be utterly amazing. So I'm not giving financial advice, but I'm just saying, if we see the old system fall, that's a good thing. We've got to look, what is the Bible says? You can't pour old wine into a new sack. If we've got a new system coming, we got to get rid of the old fiat currency, right? We got to get rid of the old fiat debt currency issued by the Federal Reserve so we can bring in the U.S. Treasury dollars backed by gold at Fort Knox. If we got to get rid of the old system, we've got to watch the tower implode so that the new system can
rebuild. So and who's the best builder? Trump.
If we exactly correct, and he knows how to bring organizations out of bankruptcy and bring them back. He knows how to work the courts. He's been working with all of these BRICS leaders around the world for 4 years. We saw what he built the economy twice, not once when he took over from Obama, but a second time after, you know, the things happened in 2020.
He built
back a second time. He knows what he's doing. The point being is the media are going to try to peddle fear when we see markets collapse or bonds default or the debt system goes away or more layoffs announced and all that kind of stuff.
But this has to happen.
It has to happen.
My whole thing is let's just rip the bandaid off. Let's get to it. I'm ready. I know you're ready. We're all ready. Everyone's ready.
We're ready.
All right, Rob. Thank you for coming on, man. Let's stay in touch.
Hey, man. Thank you, David. Have a great Sunday.